This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hello and welcome to this week's 45th podcast. I'm here this week with Wajahat Ali. Hey, Waj.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
It's good. It's good to know that we have our fourth Category 5 hurricane just the past 4 years, and we have someone like Trump who doesn't believe in climate change, who's going to navigate millions of people through the chaos.
Yeah, well, is this the first named storm of the year? No, it can't be because it's Dorian, so that means like there's three, or I don't even know how it works. Anyway, we have a hurricane season's upon us, and a monster of a hurricane, Dorian, coming in. It did not hit Puerto Rico like Trump was whining about last week. Instead, it decided to, just destroy the Bahamas, unfortunately.
It sat on top of it for two full days. Yeah,
I didn't know hurricanes stop like that, other than the time it happened last couple years ago in Texas. But this was even longer. The damage that we've seen so far is horrific. I can't recall seeing anything quite like it before.
I mean, as of now, 7 people have died, but they expect those numbers are going to go up. The airport was destroyed, and it's like just it's so surreal watching people film their own destruction. Like, I don't know if you saw those videos on Twitter, and like the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, I shouldn't be watching this. And like, I'm screaming at the computer screen, run. Like, this is not normal for you to be filming water that is coming up to your roof. But unfortunately, these poor souls, that's what's happening in the Bahamas. They're just, it's devastated. It's moved up. So it's gone from Category 5. And now it's a Category 2, which is still pretty damn dangerous. And it's hitting, it's going through Jacksonville as we speak. It's going to hit the Carolinas and Georgia. And one person has already died in North Carolina. So it's bad.
Yeah. I mean, if it's terrible for the Bahamas, it's kind of a best case scenario for the states in terms of its exposure. I mean, we're going to get sideswiped, but if it had done a direct hit the way it did in the Bahamas, I mean, it's not. Florida would not be doing great right now.
like many of us, I have in-laws in Florida, and we're just like, maybe you should leave. And they're like, we'll be fine. I'm like, yeah. Like, see, I don't know. I'm from California, and I'm from NorCal, so like, we don't get the fires from the south. But I'm just like, after a while, you're like, you know, maybe the coastal cities in the next 12 years, probably not the best place to live, especially when, and I'm probably jumping the gun here, but I just have to mention, especially when our president's taking away $100 million from FEMA emergency disaster relief for the wall. So probably, I don't know. I feel more uncomfortable than some of the people that I see in Florida. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, or like Charleston. I know someone, family friend, who recently bought property in Charleston. I'm like, well, let's see how that works out for you. 20 years
yeah, but on. thankfully, most of the people, I was listening today, a lot of people have evacuated Charleston. So the sandbags are there, and they're expecting like up to 7 feet of water. And that's a Category 2. So again, imagine what these poor folks in Bahama got hit with a Category 5 hurricane. Yeah. My God.
Well, originally this week, Trump was supposed to be on another overseas trip. He had a few scheduled in quick succession, and this time he was going to be in Poland. However, that did not happen, because luckily for Trump, Dorian came around. And using that as an excuse, he canceled his Poland trip and sent VP Mike Pence to go instead. Now, Trump, from all the reports, hates going overseas, and he did not want to go to Poland. So his story that he had to be stayed and monitor developments was, I'm sure, a welcome relief for him. He was also caught golfing at least a couple times over the weekend while, quote unquote, preparing for the storm. And at least at one point, he seems to have gotten into a little spat, or at least had a tantrum over the London mayor, who criticized his golfing during this time. And he, tried to excuse, what did he say? It was like a quick run through the links or whatever. It's a little bit of exercise. It doesn't matter. Of course, there's also the fact that it wasn't just a couple rounds of golf he was doing. He was doing them at his own private golf resort.
That's his 213th visit to a golf resort during his presidency so far. For those of you keeping track,
I feel like everyone does not talk enough about how Trump for 8 years was incessantly screaming about how often Obama golfed. Oh yeah, and he also promised during the campaign that he would be so busy being president they wouldn't have time for golf.
Yeah, and then remember, and people also forget that's the one. Like, he always mocked Clinton for her lack of stamina. And so far, this guy apparently just spends most of his presidency watching TV and tweeting. And then there was an article today in, I believe, the Washington Post, which literally said that he, according to his aides, thinks that he's working 24/7 because he believes that watching cable news TV and tweeting counts as work.
Yeah. So if the Poland trip had gone ahead as planned, there was speculation that Trump might meet with the Ukrainian president at some point while there. However, that was off the table. And also, we've been reports come out that there's $250 million that was scheduled, earmarked, to go to Ukraine to help them fight against, you know, Russian seizing their land, more Russian aggression. Well, that has now been suspended because someone in the White House didn't like the idea. Now, there's two parts to this. One is that Russia, of course, opposes any kind of arms, military weaponry going to Ukraine. In fact, that was part of the whole scandal over the changes in the RNC platform back in 2016. The big change was that they wanted to remove or to modify the language to make it less in favor of Ukrainian arming. And yeah, so that's on the one hand, yes, like Russia would love this move. On the other hand, the timing is interesting too, because we have the recent the issues going on in Ukraine having to do with the 2020 election and Biden. And the non-scandal there involving the oil company, Burisma, that Biden's son, Hunter Biden, worked for. And latest updates seem to show that Ukraine was not playing ball or not going to go along with this plan to prosecute Biden, Hunter Biden, as Giuliani and Trump would have liked. So is the withholding of $250 billion payback for that? Who knows? Either way, the Pentagon was not pleased with it because that's part of their strategy for combating Russia is to arm states there like Ukraine. Anyway.
Yeah, and we also forget, I mean, because we forget that at G7, which was just 2 weeks ago, Donald Trump was the Flava Flav for Putin being his hype man and going around, first of all, incorrectly talking about how Obama was weak. And incorrectly also stating why Russia was kicked out of the G7, because Russia was actually kicked out of the G7 for invading Crimea. But it's, again, another example of Trump doing the bidding for Putin and or Trump being vindictive and callous and potentially compromising our allies and national security because he is pissed off. Let's not forget, of course, his tiff with Denmark over the failed purchase of Greenland. That was last week.
So anyway, Trump is, it's spent the weekend here, partially at Camp David, partially golfing, preparing for Dorian, and his preparation included tweeting out misinformation about the storm. Now, there was always, as always, uncertainty about the actual path that Dorian would be taking. And initially, it looked like the forecast showed for a possible direct hit on Florida, going across toward the panhandle. So on September 1st, Trump tweeted, "In addition to Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, will most likely be hit much harder than anticipated. Looking like one of the largest hurricanes ever, already Category 5. Be careful. God bless everyone." Big problem with this tweet is that Alabama was never in the line of fire of the hurricane.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
Yeah.
Never,
and
ever.
And especially not in the line of the hurricane on September 1st when this was tweeted. So there were the National Weather Service was the first to jump on this and be like, "Oh, alert, Alabama, stand down, you're cool. Dorian ain't coming across panhandle to screw you all. You're fine."
Well, I have the tweet. It goes, "Alabama will not," capital letters, "not see any impacts from Dorian. We repeat, no impacts from Hurricane Dorian will be felt across Alabama. The system will remain too far east." This was done 20 minutes after Trump's tweet.
Yeah. In other words, Alabama, we cool, it's fine. Moving on. Of course, the news picked up on it, and there was, I guess, some cable news reports on the Alabama tweet. I didn't see him, but Trump sure did, because he got another tweeting spree going on where he wrote that, quote, "Such a phony hurricane report by lightweight reporter John Carl," wrong tag, by the way, which is happening a lot more often.
It's like, yeah,
half
like
dozen
every
tweets
week.
In the past week. Half dozen in the past week. Anyway,
yeah, yeah.
"By lightweight reporter John Carl of ABC World News, I suggested yesterday at FEMA that along with Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina, even Alabama could possibly come to play," which was true. "They made a big deal out of this, when in fact, under certain original scenarios, it was in fact correct that Alabama could have received some hurt." And the hurt is in scare quotes, in case you're wondering. Anyway, he continues on, "But the fake news is only interested in demeaning and belittling. Bad people." Yeah.
But he did it one more time. That's the funny thing. It's three times he incorrectly stated that Alabama, a state, would be hit by a potential Category 5 hurricane. This is the president of the United States of America.
Which
even after he was corrected, he then repeated that two more times. That's what's the best part.
So, Waj, how would you describe your personal style in one word?
Uncle-ish.
Uncle-ish. Well, not to stop you from being your true self, but maybe that's not the best way you could describe your personal style.
I need as much help as I can. Like, anything that can help me accommodate or improve my style, I will take all help.
Yeah, so you need to try Stitch Fix. Because Stitch Fix is the online personal styling service that delivers favorite clothing, shoes, accessories directly to you. So they could probably take your style from uncle-ish to debonair, maybe? Or at least non-uncle-ish.
Debonair uncle?
Debonair uncle, nice. It's fine. I can deal with debonair uncle's perfect.
As long as Stitch Fix can help me look cool in my minivan, that's all I care about.
Okay, they're amazing. I love them to death, but that may be too much even for them. Although, you know what? Maybe a debonair uncle would drive a minivan. So what you need to do is go to stitchfix.com and complete your style profile, and your expert personal stylist will send you a hand-picked box of items based on your style and preferences. With Stitch Fix, everyone can look their best. They have solutions for women, men, and kids all over the US and now in the UK. So discover new styles and find unique pieces with Stitch Fix, and stop being uncle-ish. Get started today at stitchfix.com/45th and get an extra 25% off when you keep everything in your box. That's stitchfix.com/45th. stitchfix.com/45th. Because it's Trump, he cannot let anything go. He cannot let reality get in the way of him being the best person and smartest person in the room or world. So he, today, at a, I don't know, here, was it a press conference? He had a briefing in the Oval Office, and he suddenly turns to the aide behind and is like, bring out the maps. And they have a big blowout, which I don't know what they got, like a big giant blowout, like, poster board of a NOA map showing the path of Dorian. Now, the map they used was a real one, originally issued by the NOAA, from August 29th. And, I mean, that part was like a genuine map. Then someone had taken a Sharpie and added to the path of Dorian. So it extended past the panhandle and included parts of Alabama. But it's a Sharpie. It's a Sharpie. Like, you can tell from, like, the squiggle stuff. It's definitely pin added on, but it looks like a Sharpie, where the path has now been adjusted to include parts of Alabama. Now, this map, the one that was altered with the Sharpie, was from August 29th. So it was 2 days before, 3 days before Trump's, or whatever, I can't do math, I don't care. It was several days before Trump's tweet about Alabama. After the 29th, and Trump was briefed during this time period, the path took a turn, the path of the storm took a turn to the right and was nowhere ever coming close to Alabama. So the time he tweeted that, he had been recently updated by his own agencies that shows that there's no way on earth this hurricane's going to hit Alabama. Instead, today, he had his staff clearly go back through and find the single map which had, because the NOAA is issuing, like, what, 4 or 5 of these maps a day as the storm progresses. They went through all of them.
And that's too many maps. That's too many maps for Trump. Yeah. We all know that.
Well, they found that the single map where the possible path of Dorian comes the closest to reaching Alabama. Now, even then, it's like 60, 70 miles off from, like, the very, very tip of Alabama, which is why they had to use the Sharpie to scribble it in and to include it. Yeah. So he was asked about this, and Trump said, I know Alabama was in the original forecast. In the original models, in all cases, Alabama was hit a 95% probability. Nah, he's making this up. That's not how it ever was. and also,
but I have a reason, you know. But you know why I think he did it, and it's like it just goes to his cognitive decline, or maybe this is just how idiotic he's always been. Remember in March, he tweeted that Alabama deserves A+ treatment for the tornadoes that they suffered. Remember that? And I'm thinking, like, do you just think his brain was like, oh, I told FEMA to give Alabama A+ treatment. That was in March. Alabama, hurricane, FEMA,
no,
disaster.
I think you're way too much into it. I think he just likes lording over like these events and feeling like the master, like in charge, like big powerful president, like lording over the hurricane, making sure everyone survives and trying to be the big man. And I think that he was just talking bullshit on Twitter. And he's like, oh, the Southeast is getting hit. Florida, North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia. They all come out like together.
You think he's probably like, Alabama's a state that's close by. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll get hit. Like, just threw them together.
He's just like, okay, the storm's going that way. Alabama's kind of that area. So like, let's just say it. Not necessarily considering the fact that actually the president and mistweeting information like that, misinformation is, yeah, that could be very problematic. And anyway, so one of the reporters asked him, quote, it looked like someone took a Sharpie and then trailed off. And Trump said, I don't know.
It's just like, it's so sad that we're laughing about this.
It's really funny though.
You know, the funny thing is because I didn't see this story. And as you were talking, I just like went and just Googled it. And it's one of those things where like it was so absurd that I'm like, you know, I could believe that Trump would do this, but maybe Susan just got like something from The Onion. Like maybe Susan just like with her like, you know, usual amazing research just made a mistake this one time. Nope, she's right. It's Trump appears to show altered Dorian trajectory map with the Sharpie.
Like I'm not gonna say it's confirmed that this is a Sharpie mark, but it is like hand drawn.
It totally looks like, because
maybe it was like an off-brand image, Sharpie.
Because the image is like, the image is in a white border, and then the white border covers like Florida, and then you see like you said, like literally a black marker with completely different color from the rest of the map, just casually extending to hit Alabama. Oh man, that's isn't that like just a great like just image of the cluster F that it is, this administration? Like it's just so bad.
It'd be a great script for Veep. It's terrifying as reality. Okay,
it's
still,
it's like funny, it's an SNL sketch. Like it's literally an SNL sketch. I'm looking at this photo right now, just like, and we just have Alabama right there. Hold on 1 second, right there. Yeah, there you go. You're like, oh sir, that's Georgia. Oh my bad. Yeah. Alabama right there.
Reporters immediately turned to Trump's agencies like the NOAA and asked for, you know, was in fact Alabama ever in the line of fire? And they have so far uniformly declined to give a statement. The responses that have come in have been like, quote, I don't have the answer in front of me right now. Or please ask the White House staff.
So like, they can't, let like, me go.
They can't get, they know Trump will lose his shit if they tell the truth. Yeah. So they're trying not to like say anything and get them in trouble.
I have to find my spine. I left it 3 years ago. Come back to me in a year. You know, but the funny thing is like, you know, we talk about decline, and this is just who he is, right? Because, like, remember Sean Spicer? Oh, Sean Spicer, we will see you on Dancing with the Stars. But before, he was going to be wearing leotard and doing the rumba. Remember when he was the White House press secretary? The first thing he did.
This is classic Trump. That is true.
Right. He came out. What do you lie about? Audience size. But this is who he is.
Here's what I wonder. So we have stuff like this. We have stuff like the crowd size photos that he changed. Right. Like before he was president, we had the Time magazine covers, the fake ones with him in it that he put up as his
resort. Ooh, nice callback. Nice callback.
But I got to wonder, like, what happened here? I mean, he is the president of the United States. He has people on staff who can do better graphics. Like, did he ask someone to produce an altered map and they refuse? Is that how this happened? Or did he just go straight for the Sharpie? Because it is kind of comforting to know that Trump's like attempted fabrication is so laughable that, okay, I guess maybe he's not doing more nefarious stuff. But that's not at all a safe assumption. Like, if he's lying about this, what else is he fabricating? What else is his government creating, like, official looking images without the Sharpie telltale sign that it's like all made up? And they're publishing as real. Now, Trump used to claim all the time that, like, the economic numbers, like the labor numbers, were all made up. Those numbers are fairly well insulated and aren't something that can easily be changed, even by presidential directive. But there's a lot of stuff the government does that Trump could conceivably affect in this way.
But they already have, right? I mean, in addition to his over 12,000 false statements that he's made so far 3 years into his presidency, remember how his administration has just like messed up on the math and the numbers when it came to alleged immigrant violence? Remember that?
Yeah, they have done that. But I'm talking about stuff like an agency that's not considered typically political. Like usually the NOAA, it's not like a heavily politicized branch. I mean, maybe once in a while it's like a climate change kerfuffle or something like that. But usually the data coming out of NOAA is not subject to like political scrutiny or concern.
But I think what it is like it's basically Trump F's up and then all of his enablers have to scramble and say, oh, no, that's not what he meant. And then he doubles down and goes, no, that's what I meant. And then they're like, crap. And then they have to like basically pay service to the king and then like literally degrade themselves and the intellect of the nation by drawing with a Sharpie, most likely, allegedly it looks like a Sharpie, with the naked eye, you know, basically contorting and distorting reality to fit the warped mindset of Trump. Like, this is, it's just like another example of this happening, right? Like, remember, like, he says, like, oh, when Trump said that, like, you know, 70-80% of Jews in America are disloyal, he didn't mean that. And then they ask him, did you mean that? He goes, yes, I did mean that. Whoever votes Democratic and is Jewish is disloyal to Israel. And so, like, to answer your question, I don't think he actually did it. I think either A, he directed someone to do it, or B, they know Trump, they know him enough now that they just went ahead and did it to placate the boss. Does that make sense?
I think, like, that happens quite a lot, but in this case, I would bet against it. I would bet so much money Trump is the one who, like, said, hey, make sure you change this map. I want a map to show I was right and make sure it shows that I was right. Now, but my question is, was his first move to go to the Sharpie, or did he try directing NOAA to make some altered maps and they refused to play ball?
Latter. I say the latter.
I mean, maybe. In which case, I guess at least the NOAA is not abiding to our reality adverse president. Man, the thing is, like, in history books, it's not going to be like a, well, we're not sure really like what the verdict is on this administration. No, it's going to be plain, like, this president was a delusional narcissist who was more concerned with, like, dictating his version of reality as opposed to, like, actually dealing with reality as it is. And it's not going to be a close question. Like, everyone's going to know exactly what kind of president he was. And in this moment in time, the media feels, like, constrained to pretend there's, like, a doubt here, or there's, like, a subjective consideration or evaluation to be made about whether he's competent. Nah. History books are going to have to do that. It's going to be like, yeah, that dude was a mess.
But the question is also going to be, like, why did people, you know, supplicate him?
That,
like,
will be where the interesting scholarship is done. Like, the question of if he's crazy is not going to be on the table. It's going to be, why did everyone go along with it? What are the conditions in which people in the government feel compelled to go along with a naked emperor?
I mean, look what just happened. I mean, another, just to give you an example, and this is why I think he actually directed the agency to do it, because he loves to lord that power, is the Pentagon is given, more than $3 billion for the construction of this wall that will never be created. And they're basically halting military projects for this wall that will never be created, just to give Trump a win before 2020. So, like, $3.5 billion are literally being diverted for this wall. And in addition, let's not forget that he has declared a national emergency for the quote unquote border crisis. And he stopped the government for a record 35 days. So it's like one of those situations where I think he actually did direct the agency to do it, got pissed off that they didn't do it, and then probably had, like, you know, Stephen Miller take out, like, a Sharpie that he probably carries in his back pocket, you know, next to the Turner Diaries, and said, Stephen, do it. And Stephen probably did it. That's the question we should ask.
You know,
who actually did it?
I like to believe that Trump personally did it.
I don't rule it out. President, why would he? He's too busy watching TV.
He ordered an aide, like, get me a blow-up giant map to show that the hurricane was headed for Alabama. And he sees it. He's like, wait, that actually isn't hitting Alabama. Gets his little Sharpie. Squeak, 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 squeak. Okay, there we go. All good.
The reason why I say he didn't, because during this entire weekend, while Dorian was about to hit and was hitting Bahamas, he also tweeted more than 60 times. So he was very – you can't tweet and draw – you extend, if you will, a hurricane to hit Alabama at the same time. I do not have faith in Trump's multitasking abilities, but let's see. One day we will find out, perhaps. One day we will find out. Well, speaking about supplication, look at that transition.
Are you referring to the supplicant himself, Mike Pence?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. He is a holy man, of course.
One thing that will also not be in doubt in history books is how corrupt President Trump is. Well, the exact level may be debated, but his full-on corruption will be another absolutely not in doubt fact.
It's amazing, because it's one of those situations where, like, if you ever see those mob movies like Goodfellas or Godfather, it's like so similar to that, like, where if you're a capo and, like, someone's the Don, you just kind of know how the Don operates and you have to pay tribute, right? Like, the Don always gets a skim. It's just how it works. Like, the Don never even has to tell you. It's like, oh, give me some money. It's just like, it's like respect. You show respect. And it's like kind of like Michael Cohen, his right-hand man. He always, you know, if you remember in that testimony, he said, like, after a while, you kind of decode Trump's language and you know what he wants. And I feel like everyone around Trump, Pence, Barr, foreign dignitaries kind of just realize you can make Trump happy and get mileage out of him if you visit his properties and basically line the coffers. And I think that's what Pence is doing here in Dublin. That's my take. Seems pretty easy.
Not in Dublin, because in fact, during Pence's recent trip to Ireland, he decided to stay not in Dublin, where he had meetings for 2 days, but in Doonbeg on the west coast of Ireland, a 3-hour drive from Dublin. Now, why would he stay in such a place? Well, possibly because...
Possibly.
Because, coincidentally, that's where Trump has one of his hotels, his golf resorts. And Pence, in fact, stayed for 2 nights, 3-hour drive away from his meetings in Dublin. And this is just like, assume for a moment we had a normalish administration where the president just happened to have a bunch of hotels. In any sane administration, you would bend yourself over backwards to avoid ever having anyone in your administration or a foreign government just by, even if they genuinely wanted to go to your hotel, you'd be like, don't do that because it's going to look terrible. No.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter would sell the hotel and give all of Ireland peanuts.
Like even if you still had the hotel, you'd just be like, make sure you don't go there because that's going to look really bad. No, instead, Pence is staying at the president's hotel. Now, initially, when his chief of staff was asked about like why this is happening, Pence's response was that it was, quote, it's like when we went through this trip. It's like, well, the vice president's going to Doonbeg because that's where his family is from. It wasn't like a you must. It wasn't like a you have to. Yeah. So by the VP's own admission, or chief of staff's admission, this was done at Trump's suggestion.
There you go.
Now, Pence's great maternal grandmother was from Doonbeg, coincidentally. It's like a town of like 750. It's a small little place. So he does have some kind of ancestral tie there. At the same time, his meeting... So the original plan wasn't even to, like... It was to have the meetings in Dublin and then stop by Doonbeg on his way out. Instead, he spent those 2 nights at Trump's golf resort.
Stop by at his great-grandmother's golf resort in Doonbeg.
Yeah. Now, which, you know. Immediately after this, the VP's office tried to, like, you know, challenge this narrative because it was looked really ridiculous and terrible. And they said that the move was because he had family ties to the town and it was the only place that could accommodate the unique footprint that comes with our security detail and other personnel. No, this is bullshit because, again, that's not how the Secret Service operates. And his family ties are not why he was staying there. He was going to visit there, not spend 2 nights when his meetings were in Dublin. Then the next day, they made a new statement. Quote, because of some misreporting, we want to clarify that the decision to stay at Trump National in Doonbeg, Ireland was solely a decision by the office of the VP. And was based on the requirement to find accommodations near the VP's ancestral hometown that could satisfy official meetings on both coasts of the Emerald Isle. At no time did the president direct our office to stay at his Doonbeg resort, and any reporting to the contrary is false. Now, there had been no reporting of that nature. Their claim that this was misreporting and like fake news is based on a fake story they're claiming the news ran with. What the VP's office itself said was that Trump suggested it and they went along with it, which is what was reported.
But this, you know, can I just add, like, this is not the first time. It goes back to what we're saying. He suggests it. You develop a type of understanding of what the Don, the Godfather, wants. You pay him some tribute. And, you know, Pence's political committee, the Great America Committee, for those of you who have forgotten, spent approximately $224,000 since 2017 at Trump Organization properties, all right? Since 2015, mostly, largely, Republican political groups have spent about $20 million at Trump hotels. So like this is how business is done. And foreign governments have spent $1 million at Trump properties in 2018 alone. Like the signal has been sent. The suggestion has been made loud and clear. And for those of you who are paying attention to whether or not this is actually allowed or legal, there's something called the Emoluments Clause, which has been completely pooped upon and shattered during the Trump presidency. So like if you get even someone like half as corrupt as president next time, like the emolument clause is like what? Do you think it's going to have any teeth whatsoever?
Well, so far it hasn't proved to have any.
It was for bribery, by the way.
It was for a lot of things, including bribery, but it's not the enforcement mechanism leaves something to be desired.
Susan, you know I love talking about bras. You and me always trade horror stories about bras that we've used in the past. I'm kidding. Listen, I tried my best, but no. I am married to a woman who wears bras, and like last time, you know, I tried to learn, and she says she's always in the search for a great bra, affordable, efficient, accommodating, that makes her feel good and look good.
And hold things up well, which is number one priority in a bra. But looking good is nice too. And that's where Third Love comes in, because Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their FitFinder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and a premium feel. It's like database journalism for boobs.
That's kind of amazing. I am like very enticed and I want to go check it out, but I will refrain. But if you need a comforting bra that is backed up by research, cutting edge research, Third Love is where you'll find it.
Yeah, just go to thirdlove.com and take their Fit Finder quiz. Answer a few simple questions, and you'll find out your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's actually fun and takes less than a minute to complete. And did you know that breast shape matters too when finding a good fit? Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. And they are, hands down, the most comfortable bras you'll own. They have straps that won't slip and tagless labels, no itching. So if you're like me, you'll have your bra drawer and you'll have the bras that you use all the time. And then you'll have the ones you've forgotten about. For me, it's all the Third Love ones up top, and the rest of my bras have like been assigned to the back of it and have not seen the light of day in quite some time. Because also every other bra has a tag, and that is the worst idea ever. So go Third Love. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/45th to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/45th for 15% off. Anyway, today on Wednesday, September 4th, Trump was asked about this stay by Pence at his resort, and he said he had nothing to do with it. Quote, "Well, I had no involvement other than it's a great place. It's Doombeg. I own it. It's in Ireland. It's wonderful. People like my product. What can I tell you? I don't suggest anything, nor did I with my attorney general. I have a lot of hotels all over the place, and people use them because they're the best, you know. They're the best." Now, his response is not to, like, say, like, oh, that's ethical concerns, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, also my hotel's really awesome, and I'll use my platform to make sure everyone knows how great my hotels are. Which is probably the reason why he told Pence to go there in the first place, even though he's now denying that he said that. Now, keep in mind, in June, 2 months ago, when Trump was over in Europe for various visits, he then took the time to stay at Doombeg. Now, it was weird that Pence was there when his meetings were in Dublin, but this was even weirder when Trump went there in June because his meetings were on continental Europe. So he had to fly hundreds of miles out of his way from like to Doombeg to stay there and then back to France for his meetings. And while he was in Ireland, he did have a meeting plan with the Prime Minister of Ireland. And initially, Trump wanted to meet with him at Doombeg, and I'm sure the Irish PM was like, oh, hell no, that is not happening. So instead, the two of them met at a VIP lounge at the airport.
Amazing. And his Doombeg property, by the way, has losses, has still not turned a profit. So
and
I'm
never,
assuming.
Well, actually, it might. It got closest last year with all the extra government money coming in. Now,
see, that's what I'm saying. That's probably another reason. Like, he's like, okay, if I brought this property and it's not turned a profit, I might as well get this in the clear during my 4-year stint. And I don't know if he'll make it, but, you know.
I'm sure it'd be nice for him to turn a profit, but I have a lot of skepticism that making a profit was the real point of all that. So the Doombeg is one of the three UK and Irish properties they own, all bought in the early 2010s. So far, he has spent $41 million on it. He bought it for like $12 million US dollars, has spent about $30 million since then on repairing it. It's now worth $23 million, it's estimated. So he is deeply underwater, has never turned a profit year to year. Probably never will. This is an all-cash deal, just like his two UK properties, where he spent like hundreds of millions on renovations that do not need, do not justify, and cannot be explained by that kind of money. Again, all cash. He's loaned it himself from his records over there. At the same time that he was buying these properties, he was also taking out giant loans from Deutsche Bank, or trying to, and needed the money to buy, say, like Doral and finish his Chicago Tower. We'll try and get more into that next week. But yeah, there is a lot of reason to be skeptical about the business justification of his Doombeg property.
Thank you, Russian oligarchs. You are making Trump properties great again.
I mean, or, wherever the money came from, there's something going, like, there's no mortgage on his Dune Bank property, and he does not have the cash to explain that purchase. So, yeah. Anyway.
At least Pence will enjoy his ancestral homeland at Dune Bank. And also I cannot forget this, because there's so much chaos that we forget that Attorney General William Barr may spend up to $30,000 to throw a holiday party at Trump's Washington hotel in December. And I'm sure Trump didn't ask him to do it. Maybe he might have made a suggestion. Because there's no hotels, Susan.
Oh, yeah, in D.C. We only have one hotel. It's the old post office. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. It's only Trump.
It's just fully normalizing the use of giving money, like his subordinates, giving him money by using his establishments when they don't have to. It's openly normalizing the practice. So foreign leaders can do it. Domestic leaders can do it. His employees can do it. If they don't do it, who knows what will happen to them? If they do it, presumably they can hope for or expect some kind of beneficial treatment in return. It's pretty corrupt. There's not another word for it. It's open corruption.
I mean, you're very kind. It's insanely corrupt, and not only corrupt, it like telegraphs exactly how to manipulate.
I don't know.
The
I'm not going to call it insanely corrupt because, like, to me, that implies like some kind of like complex scheme or like.
Susan,
just like really,
you
really,
with your
really
legal terms.
It's not really a legal term. It's more like this is not fancy corruption. This is just open, blatant, gross corruption.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's beyond blatant, naked, shameless, vulgar corruption. How's that? I'll go with the vulgar.
Vulgar, that's a good word for it.
And also, corruption. And what's what, like, you know, if it was just like an ordinary person, you'd be like, all right, fine, that's just vulgar, ugly corruption of the rich. But this is the president of the United States of America. So this explains why every single country has figured him out. Like, this explains why Kim Jong-un is literally running circles around this guy. You know, flatter him, send him some love letters, and he'll eat kimchi out of your hand. Yeah. It's MBS of Saudi Arabia. Just, like, go down the list. It's so painful to watch the president of your country being played, especially by dictators. And all you got to do is visit a Trump property and praise his crowd size, and you too can win a favor.
Yeah.
With now, President Trump.
As concerned as I am about the normalizing of this whole sort of petty, vulgar corruption, it is interesting that this latest scandal with Pence staying a Dune Bag is getting a fair bit of attention, and people are pretty incredulous about it, and they're responding appropriately. Like, what, really? That's your explanation for this? What the hell were you thinking? Whereas when Trump did it in June, there was a couple articles briefly on it, but it wasn't really a major story. Everyone kind of just accepted it. So the Trumpian ability to do these things in the open, I think there's some evidence just that so far, at least, it is not universal, thankfully. Whereas Trump, when he acts corrupt like this, it tends to, oh, that's just Trump, what do you expect? When VP Mike Pence does it, it's more of a story because it's there's not the Trumpian excuse of course he's ridiculous. It's like, this is someone who pretends to be serious, and this is just laughable. So that does give it more traction in the media. Apparently.
But it's also because they're so incompetent. They're like just really bad criminals, you know?
Like, Jesus, like, just, I don't know. Just have a nice, like, Christmas
have one
present.
Narrative.
Don't do this.
Yeah. Or like, have a consistent narrative, or at least somewhat plausible narrative. They can't even do that. It's just like, that's the one, like, saving grace, is that the most, like, vulgar, corrupt people in this administration are just, like, really dumb criminals who do stuff blatantly and get caught.
But he can recycle them. He gets through them so fast. Like, Interior, EPA... They both had really basically vulgarly corrupt leaders, and it was, you know, a scandal for a little while, and when it got too bad, he just kicked them out and got new acting people who didn't even get confirmed by Congress.
But I do think it adds to, like, it chips away the luster. It chips away at the narrative, like, just enough that it like leaves a bad taste in your mouth that, this is a corrupt administration. Now, the rest of us know it, but for, like, the average American, like a Zinke, like, you'll forget about him, but then a Pruitt comes, you'll forget about him. Then, like, a Ben Carson comes with his, like, you know, extremely overpriced furniture that he blames on his wife. It just, the stories keep adding. And then when it's Mike Pence, it's just chipping away. And then finally you get a reputation of being not only thoroughly incompetent, but also vulgar and corrupt. And it seems that most Americans, regardless of their partisanship, actually dislike corruption. It could be a good talking point for Democrats.
Plenty of people have gotten out of the administration without having that stink attached to them, even when it arguably should have been. Like Mattis, he's selling his book now. And everyone's like, okay, you're able to like subtweet the president but not call him out. Everyone's just fine with it. Or Nikki Haley, who is, I think, gunning for Pence's job, possibly. It's hard to say what's going on. And she apparently escaped a lot of the stigma. So it's not attaching to everyone, but Pence may have, he may not come out so unscathed.
Do you think, does Pence call his wife mother in front of his mother?
Oh God, I don't want to think about that.
All right. It's something to think about. Mother, mother one, mother two.
So Watch, I don't think you've been on. We've talked about Ember Wave before, have you?
I have not. You have raved about it because I know that you have very interesting body temperatures.
Yeah, I'm always freaking cold. I'm really annoying about that. That's why I love Ember Wave, because Ember Wave is the first wearable device that helps you feel colder or warmer at the press of a button. Ember Lab's mission is to bring thermal wellness to the world. They're passionate about using temperature to help every person feel better physically and emotionally. So once again, I have forgotten my mission of finding out how the hell this device works. So no answer for you there yet, but it does work. It's cool or it's hot at the touch of a button. You just recharge the USB cable and they're awesome. Again, I've not really used the cold setting at all, so I can't really talk about that. But the warm one is amazing. If you're in a theater, if you're in an airplane especially, it's an extra bit of warmth that can keep your hands from freezing off.
It was actually also named one of Time Magazine's best inventions of 2018, and it was designed by three MIT scientists who are far smarter than me and Susan and would be able to explain how this amazing technology works. But thankfully, it keeps Susan warm at all times.
That's all that really matters. So head to emberwave.com, that's EmberWave.com, and save $50 with our code 45th at checkout.
Oh, speaking of my incompetence, there's another tweet. You want to talk about this tweet, our national security tweet?
Oh, God, the Iran tweet. So Trump...
Which is terrifying, by the way. I don't even... Like, I know I'm, like, setting this up, but like, with the tongue-in-cheek, but this is actually very terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, the Dorian Alabama map is, like, scary, but also it's pretty funny. This one's just like, holy crap. This is... The damage done by this administration is going to take a long time to catalog. Anyway, Iran tried to do some missile tests. It didn't go well. Their missile blew up. And the president went to Twitter to taunt his nemesis. The tweet said, the U.S. was not involved in the catastrophic accident during final preparations for the Safir SLV launch at Simdon Launch Site 1 in Iran. I wish Iran best wishes and good luck in determining what happened at Site 1. Now, if it was just that the text only, this would be concerning because, I mean, we don't know officially if America was responsible for this launch test failing, but Trump obviously wants Iran to believe we are. So either we are responsible and he is doing, he's just gloating for no strategic advantage. He just wants to gloat and prove what he did, or we didn't and he's bluffing and confusing the hell of our allies probably. Like there's no justification or advantage for this.
There's no advantage to tweeting anything. Like shut the F up. Do not tweet anything.
But it gets worse because Trump attached a picture to it.
And the picture that he attaches is a cell phone pic of a highly classified satellite capture of the launch site. And so you're asking yourself, why is the president of the United States of America voluntarily declassifying a highly classified satellite capture on Twitter? Answer, Susan?
Because he's a fucking dumbass. I mean, you can see what in the photo he posted, you can see clearly that it was like a printout that they'd given to him in a briefing, and someone, possibly Trump, the shadow's hard to tell, but there's a shadow. You can see like the elbow poking out and the cell phone flash, and you can see how he, like, someone took a picture of this highly classified document and put it on the president's Twitter feed. Now, the satellites that have been established to have taken this photo are worth like 100 border walls each. Massive amounts of money. I'm ballparking that. But they have a significant part of America's defense spending has gone into this. And their resolution, the amount of detail they can see on the ground, is classified because you don't want the world knowing exactly what kind of eyes you got up there. And Trump just blew that all apart by showing exactly what those satellites are capable of.
You know, NPR did a great story that amateur satellite trackers basically tracked the satellite. And it came from one of America's most advanced spy satellites known as the USA 224.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Seeing like their work and how they figured out what it was really cool too. More math than I want to do myself, but basically they use like the angle of the shot and known trajectories of various satellites and piece together what this one was to come from. It's an incredible amount of detail for a satellite photo. And now the world knows exactly what we can. And well, they wouldn't know the extent or the exact resolution we're capable of, but they know the minimum resolution that those satellites can achieve. So, yeah. Now,
stunning.
Here's a question putting out there. I normally do not. I mean, over the past few years, there's been a lot of talk about the president's mental fitness and competence. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe he's not mentally fit for office, but that's based on his inherent personality flaws and personality disorders that he seems apparent he has. But in terms of, like, actual, like, organic mental decline, okay, when he started talking about the dementia test he took, I kind of had doubts in because, like, the way he's describing it, you're like, well, something's not right there. But for the most part, I don't like that kind of talk because I don't think it sounds convenient and good, but like also he's been this terrible racist human being for a long time. That's not right. Different. I will say over the past like month or two, I have a harder time not wondering about whether Trump actually has some kind of organic mental decline. Seeing him again and again in various appearances, and he's always been erratic. He's always had like off days and always had times where he's, you know, slurring or seeming like just robotic or even more chaotic than normal. It has been consistently red flags in his behavior for a little while now. And it could just be because of stress. When he's stressed, he gets like this, and he's been stressed all summer. I definitely find myself wondering more and more if there really is something going on.
But if you're a habitual liar, again, if you say more than 12,000 misstatements, and if you believe those lies, right, and it goes back to our conversation about willing those lies into existence to basically fit your understanding of reality. Even if you're a professional BS artist, after a while, that has to be a reflection of some type of a compromised mental state. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, sure, it's a permanent.
What happens if he wills himself? Like he wills himself to. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wills himself to believe things that he wants to be true that we know are false.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about like that basic personality flaw. I'm talking about pure like, oh, this guy looks like he has early stage dementia.
If you even look at anything that he has to read, anything which is like forced, anything which is not improvised, like he used to be able to. He never did it well. All right. He was never an Obama.
But he had his own style and he could do it in his way.
Yeah. But now it looks pained. Like it pains him to actually try to form these words together in a sentence to read. He's slurring, the weird voice. Like you said, the sloppiness when it comes to the tagging the wrong people.
He's always done. It just feels like an acceleration. And I hate even talking about this because I feel like it is all just speculation. There's nothing, there's no like objective proof of any of it. But I just.
Well, I mean, there is objective. I mean, we see his behavior. We just can't, you know, we can't clinically diagnose him with something, but we see very troubling behavior. You could just see his Twitter feed.
But as someone who is reluctant to believe in the whole dementia narrative, I will say, like, it has been constant how many times I see him and feel surprised by his increasing signs of early stage dementia.
And so if I may then, once Congress comes back from their vacation, don't you think the Dems should officially launch impeachment?
I mean, they should have like 6 months ago or like 2 years ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They should have,
right?
As soon as they took, I mean, the Congress should have started impeachments like January 2017. But they definitely should have as soon as the Democrats took control. But
see, I say I would give them a little bit of leeway. I said in April, like a week after the Mueller report. So April, May, June, July, August. Now it's going to be September. And with everything that you've said and just the stuff that we've covered in this podcast alone, if not impeachment, then what? Like, why else would the framers of the Constitution put the impeachment proceedings in there? If not for this moment, if not for this precedent, that's what I'm asking. Like you know, everyone asks. I asked this on Twitter. Everyone asks Republicans, like, how low does Trump have to go for you to abandon him? So my question for Democrats is, how low does Trump have to go for you to impeach him? That's my question.
A lot lower than I think I would have guessed 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, almost.
The bottom will get bottomer. That's all I know.
I assume there is a bottom for the, and maybe not for Republicans. I assume there is a bottom where the Democrats, and Pelosi said it herself, like, basically saying, like, if he forces us to impeach him, I think there are acts he could do that even the most reluctant Pelosi would, in fact, open impeachment proceedings. But I think we're talking, like, actual, like, shoot someone on Fifth Avenue kind of stuff.
Because, like, if you really compare, like, what Clinton, Johnson, and even, like, Nixon were impeached for, like, dude, this guy meets it and exceeds it. Like, honestly, he just laps them by a mile. And so you're like, okay, if that was the threshold then, like, this dude on a monthly basis exceeds that threshold. Like, he is gifted in his incompetence and corruption. So that's why I'm just sitting there thinking, like, the Democrats will go out of their way to screw themselves over with their timidity by not doing the right thing. And I, again, have argued on your podcast that I think strategically it is the right thing to do, because this president watches TV all the time and he will not be able to control the narrative if the focus is on impeachment.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll get oversight, and maybe we'll, you know, follow the money trail to Deutsche Bank and maybe to some Russian oligarchs and maybe get his taxes and find out what other people have been doing.
I think strategically it's not the danger zone that Pelosi seems to believe it is. But even that aside, like, impeachment is the one mechanism we have to say definitively, culturally, societally, governmentally, as a state, as a people, this ain't cool. We're not cool with it. We're not going to be cool with it. Actually, this is all really god awful. That is our one official way of doing it. And we need, like, that stamp of, like, yes, this is messed up and we recognize it. I think for a lot of reasons that go far beyond 2020, it'd be crucial for us to have that. And I don't think we're going to get it. He's not going to get impeached, I don't think. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, unfortunately. And leave it to the Democrats to bring a butter knife to a gunfight. Because, you know, if the shoes were flipped and this was a Democratic president, impeachment would have started in January, right after they were elected.
Oh, yeah.
But here we are. Here we are. And September has just started.
Yes, lots of hurricane season left to go. Well, that is all for this week's 45th. Turn in next.
You really know how to end on a positive, uplifting note, Susan. I like that.
Hey, I'm in D.C. I think I'm pretty safe. So,
we should be grateful, guy. Here's the positive news: we should be grateful that Donald Trump so far has not attempted to nuke the hurricane. So there you go.
Yet. Until next week, guys. See you then.
Bye bye.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan. And you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is @45thpod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.